Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. We are still studying together some of the verses of Quran chapter 7, as we will see in this broadcast and the following broadcasts as well, the story of Moses. Here we're going to learn that Muslims who claim to believe in Moses and they believe in the Torah, the book of Moses, that they do not know neither Moses nor the Torah, the book of Moses. As we see, not only the Quran contradicts the Bible in almost everything Muhammad mentioned about Moses, but we also see the Quran contradicts the Quran itself. Let me give you a good example. You see, in Quran chapter 7 and verse 107, we read, "So he, that is Moses, threw down his rod, so behold, it became an obvious serpent." The verse is very clear. Moses threw his rod and it became an obvious serpent, a real snake. Anyone can see it, anyone can know it, it is a snake. Now let us look at what Muhammad wrote in Quran chapter 27 and verse 10. For there we read, "And threw down your rod." Here Allah is speaking to Moses, command him to throw his rod down. As we read carefully, "So when he saw it shaking as though it were a jinn, he retreated backwards and did not return. O Moses, do not fear. Surely the messengers will not fear in my presence." That is what Allah stated in Quran chapter 27 and verse 10. Notice, if you're not familiar with the word jinn, you could not see the contradiction between Quran chapter 27 verse 10 and Quran chapter 7 and verse 107. You see, jinn is an invented word by Muhammad. Or we can say an invented creatures by Muhammad, as Muhammad claimed that Allah created the jinn 2,000 years before he created Adam and Eve. Who are the jinn? The jinn are some creatures between human and angels. They're not angels and they're not human. And we can go on and on to learn more about jinn from so-called Muslim scholars, that some of the jinn are Muslim believers, some of the jinn are infidels, some of the jinn are Christians, and some of the jinn are Jews, and on with nonsensical belief. But let me destroy the idea of the invention of Muhammad concerning the jinn by just talking about the timing of the creation of the jinn. You see, when we open the Quran and we study the Quran, we will find out that Allah created the heaven and earth in 6 days. All over the Quran, every time Allah mentions the creation of the heaven and earth, we see that He did it in 6 days. Except in one verse where Allah said He created the heaven and earth in 8 days. That is by adding what Allah created in every one of these days, and you come up with the total of 8 days of creation. But in the hadith, Muhammad told us more details about the creation of everything on every day. We ended with 7 days of creation. Except that Muhammad forgot to mention the creation of the heavens in that list, which he mentioned in his saying. And if we go back to the Quran, we found that Allah created the heavens in 2 days. And if we add these 2 days to the 7 days of creation of Muhammad, we'll end with 9 days. In any way, if you look at all that which is written in the Quran concerning the creation, you will discover that it have to be 6 days, 7 days, or 8 days, or 9 days. And now we have to ask the question, When did Allah created the jinn? Oh, Allah created the jinn 2,000 years before he created Adam. And now we ask the logical question. How can you create something 2,000 years before the creation of Adam when Allah stated in the Quran that he created everything, the seven heavens and the seven earths and all that which is in them in 6, 7, 8, or 9 days? That is a great evidence that the jinn does not exist. Believe it or not, the Muslims were able to influence all the children of America. That is when they created the movie Aladdin. And in Aladdin, you see that he found that lamp and he rubbed the lamp by his hand to see what is written on it. And when he did that, came out of the lamp a jinn. And that is exactly what Muslims believe. And that jinn made that great famous statement, Shubbik Lubbik, Abdak Binidik, which is what we see in the English language. When the jinn told Aladdin, he can ask 3 requests, 3 wishes he can ask, and he will receive them. This is just good story for cartoon, not for real life. But once again, let's go back to Quran chapter 27 and verse 10. When Allah ordered Moses to throw the rod, he did. And he saw it, we read in the Quran, he saw it shaking as though it were a jinn. And here is the contradiction. Did Moses saw the rod as snake, obvious snake, or did he saw it as a jinn, which, by the way, does not exist in reality? Now, Muslim scholars, as always they do, they found an answer for every problem they have in the Quran. And they will actually play with the Arabic language and creating words, trying to convince the naive Muslims that there is no contradiction in the Quran. So they said, well, the jinn is a small snake. And when the snake grew up, it became a big snake. Because the creation of the jinn, like the creation of the snake, the great snake, and they both shake and move smoothly. Boy, oh boy, what a great fabrication. Did Moses saw a small snake or a big snake? Of course, he saw a snake, as we read that in the Exodus account. But how can Allah in the Quran talk about Moses seeing it as jinn, when in reality, jinn does not exist? We only have angels and we have human. And angels are two. The fallen angels, which is Satan and the demons, and the godly angels, which we read about throughout the Bible, in heaven, serving and worshiping God and saying, holy, holy, holy. Now let's move on in our study of the Quran to see what else did Allah say about Moses in the rest of Quran chapter 7, comparing to that which is written in the Exodus account. You see, in Quran chapter 7, verses 113 to 116, we learn about Pharaoh and the sorcerers and Moses. For there we read, and the sorcerers came to Pharaoh. They said, surely we will have a wage if we were the victors. He, that is Pharaoh, said, yes, and surely you will be of the nearer. They said, O Moses, either you cast or we will be those who cast. He said, you cast. So when they cast, they bewitched the people's eyes and made them afraid. And they brought a great sorcery. Now, believe it or not, when you read the interpretation of so-called Muslim scholars, you realize that there was no actual sorcery, but it was tricks made by the Egyptian sorcerers. As an example, in their interpretation, they stated that that great sorcery which Allah is speaking about is simply that these Egyptian sorcerers throw thick ropes and long pieces of wood in a big valley, 1 square mile. And they actually painted these ropes with mercury, as they also put mercury inside these rods. And because of the sun's heat, they began to move. So people thought that they are snakes, when in reality, it was not snakes at all. But when people saw it, they got so scared that even Moses himself got scared and he had fear in his heart. And that is what we read in Quran chapter 20, verses 67 and 68. For there we read, So Moses conceived a fear in his soul. We said, fear not, surely you are the uppermost. Then in Quran chapter 7 and verse 117, we read, and we revealed to Moses that cast your rod. So behold, it picked what they fabricate. So the truth was vindicated, and vain was what they were doing. What happened next? So they were defeated thereupon, and they were turned away, humiliated, and the sorcerers fall down, worshiping. They said, we believed in the Lord of the worlds, the Lord of Moses and Aaron. Pharaoh said, have you believed in him before I gave you permission? Surely this is a deception. You have deceived in the city so that you may get its people out of it. So you will know. I will surely cut off your hands and legs on opposite side. Then I will crucify you, all of you.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
The problem is that Muhammad repeated the same story throughout the pages of the Quran, in chapter 10, in chapter 20, and many other places throughout the Quran. But sadly, when Muslims read the Quran, they don't study it. They're not investigate what Allah said, as they have been taught in Quran chapter 5, verse 101, never to ask questions about the word of Allah. So they could not see anything wrong in it. But if you put these passages side by side and read them and examine them, you'll find that every time Muhammad repeated the story of Moses and Pharaoh and the sorcerers, you will see that he always contradicts himself. The wordings are not the same. The information are always different. So not only the Quran contradicts the Bible, but the Quran contradicts the Quran, which is a great evidence that the Quran is not the true word of God. And now let us compare the true biblical account in Exodus chapter 7 and that which we have read in Quran chapter 7, as we look at some of these errors in that one simple passage. So you see, in the book of Exodus, we learn that, first of all, the sorcerers did not make that deal with Pharaoh in the beginning of that story, as we just have read in Quran chapter 7 and verse 113. And the sorcerers came to Pharaoh. They said, surely we will have a wage if we were the victors. I believe Muhammad did not know what was the relationship between Pharaoh and his sorcerers, or as a matter of fact, between Pharaoh and all the people of Egypt. Pharaoh was the god of Egypt. Pharaoh was the man who is controlling the entire country. Pharaoh was a tyrannical king who does to his people as he pleases. No such a thing as some slaves will come to the king and they tell him, well, if we are victors, you have to give us wages or salary. This does not fit with the true nature of what was the relationship between Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and anybody throughout his land. No, they would have done it for free without any rewards. Second of all, when the sorcerer did what they did, which is changing their rods into snakes, they did not use any mercury as it is written in the pages of the Quran. But it was actually what it is. They have the power to perform sorcery. They simply did it with the power of Satan. So now let us examine the biblical account to find the rest of the errors of the Quran. For in the book of Exodus, chapter 7, beginning from verse 8, we read, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you, show a miracle for yourselves. Then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh and let it become a serpent." Then in verse 10, we read, "So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so, just as the Lord commanded, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent." Notice here, from reading these three verses, we learn about a huge error. For in the Quran, Muhammad was very clear. It was Moses who cast his rod before Pharaoh. But here we see, actually, it was Aaron who cast the rod, not Moses at all. Now let us read Exodus chapter 7 and verse 11. "But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. So the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod and they became serpents." There was not mercury there. There was not sun heat there. It was simply Egyptian magicians were able to perform that event by the demonic spirit power. But then we read in the Bible about Aaron's rod, not Moses' rod, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, which brings us to another error in the Quran. You see, when you read what Muhammad wrote throughout the pages of the Quran, you see that ridiculous conversation between Moses and the sorcerers, and from which we learn that, oh, you cast first. No, you cast first. Okay, you cast first. And obviously, this conversation never took place in the Bible. But worse than that, according to the Quran, the sorcerers cast their rods and their robes first, and then Moses cast his rod second, which is not only error, for Moses did not cast any rod but his brother Aaron, but the order. For in the Bible, it was Aaron who cast his rod first, which became a serpent, and then later the sorcerers cast their own rods, and then the snake of Aaron swallowed all the snakes of the Egyptian sorcerers. What about the fear of Moses when he saw their rods and their ropes turn into snakes? Do we read anything about that in the Exodus account? Obviously not. This was just simply made up verses by Muhammad or those who helped him to make up the story in the Quran. Finally, in the biblical account, in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 13, we read the following. "And Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, as the Lord has said." Another huge error we read in the Quran concerning what happened to the sorcerers, the magicians, after Aaron's snake swallowed their snakes. For in the Quran, we learn that the magicians and the sorcerers of Pharaoh believed in Allah, the Lord of the world. They believed in the God of Moses and Aaron, when in reality, the Bible did not say that at all. And what's so amazing is that Pharaoh got upset and he said, "You believed in Moses without my permission?" Then Pharaoh accused him to be working with Moses with the deception. That is when he stated in Quran 7 verse 123, "This is a deception. You have deceived in the city so that you may get its people out of it, which once again a huge error throughout the pages of the Quran, as Muhammad saw that Moses and his people will inherit the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh brought his judgment, and that is when Pharaoh said he will cut their hands and their legs from opposite sides, which means each one of these sorcerers are going to lose their right hand and their left foot, or they're going to lose their left hand and the right foot. Amazingly, after that, immediately he said he will crucify them, which is another error. Why is that? First of all, there was no crucifixion in Pharaoh's and Moses' days. Number two, if you cut a person's right hand or left hand, how in the world you can crucify him? Because for a person to be crucified, meaning to be nailed to a cross, he need to have both arms, the right and the left. If you lose one of the two arms, then you cannot put him on a cross in a shape of a cross. Crucifixion would have never take place with a missing arm. And it is really funny to read the last two verses in Quran chapter 7, that is verse 125 and 126. For there we read, they said, these are the sorcerers, surely to our Lord we will return, and you do not take revenge on us, except because we believed on the signs of our Lord when they came to us. Our Lord, pour out patience on us and cause us to die Muslims. Muhammad made everybody a Muslim in the Quran. For in the Quran, all the prophets of the Bible are Muslims. Even Jesus himself is a Muslim in the Quran. And the sorcerers of the Bible in Pharaoh's days are Muslims in the Quran. What an amazing thing. Everybody in the Quran somehow turned from whatever they were to become real good Muslims. God help our dear Muslim friends that they may see how much errors exist throughout the pages of the Quran. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.